The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 4th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us here on the show this afternoon. A nice Wednesday here in Auburn, Opelika. It was a little rainy this morning, but we got that through. We got that out. We're like 20 degrees warmer than it's been in the past 2 weeks, so that's exciting for those of you who are wimps to the cold. And so, happy Wednesday, Christian. How are you, sir?
Doing well. I believe we called this yesterday of the big jump in temperature.
Maybe so, I am getting my weatherman license. Maybe, man, maybe the times are a-changing.
It's tough to get, I'm hearing on these days, but
I mean, you just got to be what? Halfway accurate, right?
I think have to go out and make a remark.
I mean, I see
that's what journalism is nowadays. You just got to say something.
Just say something and be first.
And louder than everybody else.
Yes.
That's all that matters. No, happy Wednesday. Doing well, my goodness. I feel like every single time I look down at my phone, there are new and new NBA trade deadline conversations that are going on. You've had multiple trades today. You had a bunch last night. A couple that we hinted at earlier in the show yesterday, I saw your Celtics got a nice little Nikola Vucevic, which is a pretty nice.
Yeah, it's been mixed feelings from Bostonians. Really? Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people that cover the team don't feel like they really did a whole lot because the money factor was pretty much even with what they gave up to what they're bringing in. The contracts are basically the same, but
I feel like you got a bigger body that doesn't demand the basketball as much.
Yeah, and
which
also
makes things easier for Jalen Brown, who wants to shoot it
32 times a game. I also don't know why the Bulls went and got another guard. They're kind of loaded. They're kind of heavy. They have a lot of players like him. So, yeah. I don't know. It is what it is. I like it, though. I forget how long Vucevic has been playing in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
That dude's been around. I was playing with him on NBA 2K13, brother. He's been playing the league for a while.
And
so,
for those that know, the best soundtrack of all NBA 2Ks.
Oh yeah, 2K13 was it.
It's the best one. The best intro
one.
Song.
Yeah.
Does a lot for the show.
I played that on PS3, brother. I still have that PlayStation 3 at my parents' house. And I play it when I go home every now and then. Because my player is just, you know, he's just maxed out.
Back when you couldn't do anything but play My Career. You couldn't. There was no online game modes.
No, not back then. No. Man. That dude, he's dropping 75 a game. He's won.
That's it?
You know, I mean, yeah. He doesn't play the fourth quarter.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's
a bunch
of... You
work on your season averages.
Yeah, I work on my team play, right? I'm a rebounding
team
guard.
Chemistry, baby.
Yeah. But you're right. There are a bunch of NBA trades and stuff going on. Harden going to the Cavs and...
Yeah, the problem.
Yeah, day-to-day Davis now going to Washington, which is pretty crazy.
Him with Trae Young. People forget about the Trae Young trade.
It could be interesting.
It could be... That's a really, really young team. It's been a great rebounding team, but just cannot score. And so you get Trae Young and day-to-day Davis throwing them lobs, getting rebounds. Could be a really fun team here in the future. We'll hit on a couple of those here a little bit later on, probably to end our number one. But my goodness, do we have a really good show set up for you here this afternoon. Remember the name Charles Bediako?
Who?
Well, we're not here to tell you that there have been periods that end this story. Instead, major commas, because, my goodness, the plot continues to thicken for this entire situation, as there is a new hearing date that his lawyers are asking for. And man, it's just crazy convenient of the days that they continue to ask for and the games that they're able to continue to get. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how he is in action tonight, taking on the top-ranked team in the SEC. And the top-ranked team in the SEC, the Aggies, are major underdogs going to Tuscaloosa. We'll talk about that, as well as some more games in the SEC and the top 25, some of the games last night in there as well. Before we get to Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7, covers the Georgia Bulldogs better than everybody. We'll get his thoughts rounding out the transfer portal on the football side of things. Any offseason news as they look to get the 2027 visit recruiting list working their way down on their website. We'll also talk Georgia basketball in there as well. Before we get into hour number two, where you know it is Wednesday, so we have Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn from 3:05 to 3:20. We're looking forward to having a good one here today.
Yeah, so two great guests, great topics as well. Outside of those guests, you can be a part of the program if you would like. We'd love for you to do so. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number to get you through to us, or you could shoot us a text in the online text box, as many of you do, at 334-784-1067. And I'm sure that somebody out there has thoughts on the Charles Bediako situation, which is where we begin today's show, because no, it's not Auburn related, but it is SEC related. And it will be Auburn-related on Saturday.
Yeah, it could very much be Auburn. Well, it will be Auburn-related on Saturday. Whether or not Auburn fans see it as good or bad depends on what comes out of the news that was dropped this morning.
It just continues to get slimier and darker and grosser to me. I mean, the idea that we're still talking about this situation. We're still, not only are we still talking about it, as you said, there's ongoing news and updates about this situation with Charles Bediako and the University of Alabama.
And the thing is, before we dive into some of these details, is it's not even the fact that we are talking about it that it's so bad. It's the fact that the people that make the decisions cannot talk about it right now because of whatever a restraining order with the NCAA does, to where now it is only the outside noise that can be talked about. You're not even allowed to have legitimate conversations until Friday. But now one side, and we'll let you guess which side, is asking to delay this preliminary hearing. When, do you ask? 2 weeks. From February 16th, anywhere from then to February 18th is when Charles Bediako and his court, his crew, are asking for this to be postponed until February 18th to have this hearing.
Yeah, a buddy of the show, Mike Rodak of Bama 247, reported that this morning, that they are continuing to kick this can down the road. I mean, you talk about a true definition of kick it down the road. And I mean, this isn't even sweeping it under the rug, because they're addressing it. They're just like, I don't really feel like it. And then they just kick it down the road. Like, nah, we want to wait a couple more weeks.
It's one of those COVID videos of everybody that got one of those giant rocks and kicked it for a mile every day until it started
it
rolling.
Yeah, it made it like super soft. And
basically
flat.
What's going on here is they just continue to address anything with any sort of legitimacy and just hope that everything will work itself out. And the Alabama side of things is going, we could talk about it, or you could just delay it because we now want to have our questions answered before we go into our hearing. And then in the fine print, it's, and while you're doing that, let Charles play five more games.
We kept talking about this situation because this coming Friday, February 6th, was not even the initial day. That was just the latest day that they were supposed to meet. They were possibly coming to a decision, and it was like, that's funny. That's the day before Auburn and Alabama. And I said, how convenient is that? And Daryl Daprich, our buddy, who will join us in hour two, reminded us when he was in studio last week and said, well, convenient would be the day after the Iron Bowl of basketball. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I guess so. Well, here we are. Now his restraining order for Charles Bediako allows him to play for the University of Alabama until February 18th. That is another 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks, several games for a guy who, yeah, I'll admit, he makes them better. He's a good player. He's a semi-pro basketball player. No wonder he makes them better. No wonder they want him on the floor. Didn't help on Saturday, but I bet he helps tonight.
Yeah.
I bet he helps them play good tonight. And that's where we are in this situation. And call me crazy here, Christian, because we have more situations like this going on around us in college athletics, right? We've seen the Diego Pavia rule. We saw Lewis Moore at Indiana. We've got more updates coming up later on in the show about Joey Aguilar, okay? This is not the first of its kind. It's definitely unique because it's the first major player we're seeing go from semi-pro back to college basketball or college athletics, right? But call me crazy in saying that I don't blame Alabama for doing this. I don't blame them. Or, I don't agree with it.
Or Bediako.
Or Betty, exactly.
I mean, that's the same thing we've had the conversations on with Diego Pavia of why would you not? Or Trinidad Chambliss, who is...
TJ Finley.
Yeah.
Who literally spoke out and said, well, they're going to pay me a bunch of money to come play quarterback in college. Why would I do anything else?
There are, we talked about this right before going on air, and I don't know the exact numbers. I guess it is a little bit of a guesstimation, but man, you go look at the average player in the NBA or the backup whatever in the NFL or just a stereotypical average second baseman in the MLB or whatever the case may be, but man, you have kids that are now working their way back to college that are making more than those players do. And so Bediako's situation, yes, is a little bit unique because he experienced that side of things, taking away his eligibility or the remaining eligibility by declaring for the draft, going undrafted. But now, yeah, to be able to, it didn't really work out. And now I'm seeing how much is you know, the dollar signs in college basketball or semi-professional basketball. I'm going to go back. And there's nothing really that you can do about it because the NCAA has absolutely no backbone. They have no spine. And so even if they tell me no, we'll find a way around it.
They have no backbone. They have no voice box. They have no presence in the company that they're running, basically. They're a CEO of a company that's tied up to his office chair and is just watching this happen through the glass windows of his office. That's what's happening with the NCAA. And every now and then somebody will walk by and just kick them in the face to make sure that they're still awake and watching what's happening. But that's all that. I mean, the NCAA is so worthless. Worthless. You couldn't give me the money to go buy the NCAA. I would give it back. I'd say, nah, I'm good. I don't want it. They're a sorry organization. To the point, Christian, that I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the first time in my life. I feel bad for the NCAA because they are getting bullied, taken advantage of, and just getting slapped silly. And there's nothing that they can do about it.
Not anymore because of what we've called for the last 2 or 3 years of, man, if this goes through, you won't hear about it now. But you're going to hear about it in 2 or 3 years of what's going on and what can happen now because of this. They had the conversations of NIL, and it's supposed to be, okay, yeah, he can go to his local car wash and sign autographs for, you know, for them to pay him $200. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I sell my jersey, I can actually make a little bit of profit from it. But then it started working its way into a little bit more and a little bit more, and nothing was being denied to where we went and sat there and talked about this 3 or 4 years ago off air. And then again, I mean, more recently professionally, I guess, on my side of things of, man, there's no stopping what's going on. And you've seen all of the crazy NIL deals and the third-party stuff, and that's now come to college being able to legitimately pay for their players and have this pool that they can use that increases every single year, but none of that refers to anything that the players can get outside of that, and now you have the situations like Utah where it's third-party that are working its way in – basically into the athletics, but it's not running through the university, so nothing counts as legitimate NIL. So much is going wrong with this. And, yeah, we call this that the NCAA has, at this point, what, 3 years remaining? I mean, you're at a point right now to where you can't dig yourself out of this hole. The only way you can do so is if you finally just hit some sort of rock bottom where you can't dig down any further.
I'm just on my comparison game today and visual game today for whatever reason.
Visual on the radio, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm creating a visual in your head that you're listening to on the radio. I'm painting the picture, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a color commentator. You're a play-by-play guy.
True. Yeah. I just tell you what's going on. I can't describe it at all.
You're going back in time a little bit.
Yeah. I did color back in the day. The NCAA is comparable for me right now. They're comparable to a government that is about to be overthrown. Do you know what happens or why a government gets overthrown? Do you know why a government has its people take over? That's what an overthrow is. It's when the people who are being governed form a group. They walk in the door and say, "You're done. You're out. We're taking over here." And the government literally gets overthrown, right? Do you know why that happens? It's when they lose their power to govern. It's when they lose legitimacy. It's when they lose the ability to do the job they were put in place to do. That is the NCAA right now. They are in a spot where they're so useless, so powerless, and I'll say it, so embarrassing that they need to be replaced. They need to be overthrown. They need to be removed. And somebody, something, some organization, I don't know what it is, they need to step in and take over here because this is not working. And I don't know who that is. I'm not going to call the government to do it, and we're not getting into politics here, just saying...
Come on, Elon.
Yeah, when the government steps in, it's hit or miss on whether it actually goes right or not.
Yeah.
But I don't know who that is, because we can't keep going down this path of more Charles Bediakos. We can't keep going down the path of more Diego Pavias. Again, we've got information now on Joey Aguilar from Tennessee, who's trying to get more eligibility to come back, too.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
We can't keep going this way. College sports are ruined.
Yeah.
They're over.
You're at the point in these professional sports, you hear about the MLB lockouts or the NFL lockouts, and it's the players' unions that have to go and basically speak out for the whole, right? And everybody finally comes to some sort of agreement. You're at a point right now to where these college teams, which is wild, these college institutions and these college organizations, as we call them now, they can't even form some sort of lockout because then they're still represented by the NCAA and then they would become part of the problem because the individual now has so much power. Getting back to the Bediakos situation, again, attorneys have requested that his preliminary injunction hearing is scheduled now for Friday to be postponed until February 16th through the 18th because the attorneys have listed 38 questions for the NCAA that they want to have answered before the injunction is heard. This is according to, again, Bama247's Mike Rodak. But some of those questions include identifying how many Division I players currently on rosters played in any professional league prior to being granted eligibility and the total compensation earned by those players. So what they are wanting to get some sort of answer to inflate the numbers is how many Europeans are in college basketball right now. Yet when you compare professional organizations, there is no comparison because those dudes like Luka Doncic and Manu Ginobili are over there playing since they're 12 years old, playing quote-unquote professional basketball because there is no such thing as legitimate university basketball. When you're good enough, that is what you go do, and you're picked up by clubs and organizations to do it quote-unquote professionally, but it's nothing like an institution of the NBA.
But I, to be completely honest, and I know we got to get to break, we can pick up on this when we come back, I understand that argument. I do. I understand that argument. Because on paper, right, the argument is, what's the difference in a European professional and a United States professional. Their argument is pro basketball is pro basketball.
Right. I understand the leverage that they're trying to get to, but using the common sense, which I guess doesn't really apply to this, not from the standpoint of the Bediaco, but just
in a court of law.
Right. You can't use just sense in the court of law. You have to use
this is what I think
numbers
is right
and reasons.
And wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But that's the leverage that they're trying to draw in.
Which I get. I understand. Again, I may not agree with it, but I understand exactly where they're coming from. And that is why there has to be a line drawn in the sand to where there's going to be a lot of innocent, good people that get hurt out of all of this, who are limited in their access, limited in their opportunities, because of people like Charles Bediaco who have abused the system.
Yeah.
Right? It's typically in situations in life, it's one bad egg that ruins the whole dozen.
Yeah. They give an inch and you take a mile, and all of a sudden that is now the stereotype for everything and everybody in whatever sort of group or whatever sort of organization that you put onto that individual.
Yeah. It sucks. It's sad. And it's ruining college athletics. More on this when we come back. Again, Charles Bediaco has had his restraining order extended. He can now play at least through February 18th.
I believe it's just requested. I don't think it has been confirmed yet.
Doesn't matter. Who's going to stop him?
The NCAA is going to tell him no.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have several guys standing out front of Coleman Coliseum and waiting for him and say, no, you cannot enter.
Right.
Like, it's not going to happen.
No. But at least that's where we're at right now.
Exactly. More on that when we come back. We'd love to get your thoughts if you have any, though. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you could shoot us a text at 334-784-1067. We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as we continue breaking down, talking, and kind of just giving our opinions here.
It has.
Huh?
Oh.
Sorry.
I said doing more than the NCAA has about this.
I mean, we're 25 minutes. Yeah, we're actually having conversations about it. Like adults, we're talking out our problems, right? And our problem is college athletics because it's broken. I read somewhere, Christian, that Charles Bediaco's attorneys have now asked for this hearing to be pushed back to Tuesday, April 7th.
Wow.
No particular reason.
No.
This, you know.
Not after the Final Four in the national championship.
No. Is that when that?
Oh.
Oh.
Gosh, sorry. The calendars are just. I know the college football calendar got messed up yesterday. So
yeah, I just lost track. Yeah. I lost track. No, I'm just kidding.
Interesting because, yeah, I thought Alabama was. I thought they were done playing in late March.
Late March, yeah. I thought so too. I didn't know they made it to April. But no, Eric in Auburn posted an interesting question in our on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Because we were talking about basically the argument from the Bediaco camp, right? And they're saying, well, why can our professional basketball player not play college, but you're allowing Europeans to come over and play college basketball?
His question is going to be, we take out Bediaco and we take out Phillip, isn't it?
You are spot on, sir. He said, Auburn fan perspective, if the NCAA said that Bediaco can't play, but the price was losing our European pro in Jovich on our own roster, are we still in favor? That's the Auburn perspective. I assume he would mean if the NCAA, if because I said in the
not
last
doing
segment,
an eye for an eye, but just
correct.
NCAA
I said
wide.
In the last segment, a line needs to be drawn, and it's going to be a harsh one at that, to where it's either all pros or no pros, right? You're either a high school recruit or you're not. You know what I'm saying? So that's what he's talking about. He says, I also want to point out that out of control salary started with college coaches. Terry Bowden's first contract at Auburn was $90,000 a year. NCAA had a monopoly for decades. It's not a bad point.
Fair as well. Yeah,
not a bad point. But I don't know. That's a tough question to answer, I guess, because I don't want to say, yeah, get Phillip out of here so Batiako gets out of here. Right. But my opinion is yes.
Just give me clarity, one way or the other.
Make it, yeah, give us a ruling somewhere, yeah. Somehow, some way. Because the limbo that we're in right now is exhausting.
And you're going to be at the point to where there's going to be either American teams that are made in Europe that don't call themselves professionals, or they're going to have to change the European professional basketball, like, rulings or the names so that, like, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Either that, or it's legitimately going to be, okay, if you're going to go start those clubs in Europe, guess what? We're going to go get basically our G League of European basketball that feeds, you know, that's the Auburn pipeline. And we're going to go start our kids when they're 13 years old. So that way they're not considered professionals, rather than they're just playing club basketball for Auburn University or for Auburn whatever. So that way it's legal. I mean, there's...
How did we get here, man? How did we get here?
Because there were zero roadblocks or anything to where now, whichever route you want to take, you want to create your own road, go right ahead. We're not going to be able to stop you.
We went from college. We went from high school athletes, high school basketball players going straight to the NBA to that being restricted. High school athletes skipping college to go to the G League or professional. And now we got kids going from high school to college, to the pros, and back to college.
And you know why it started? Because kids wanted to be paid money for their names to be in video games.
Oh, that is how it started. Are we happy now? You got your $50 check in the mail. Now we got professional athletes playing college basketball. Let's see what Jordan Hill has to think. We talk to him of Dogs 247 coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes in here to the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on a sunny day here in the Auburn and Opelika area. And it's Wednesday at 2:30, which means we get to the phone lines and welcome in our first guest of the afternoon as we talk with our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He covers the Georgia Bulldogs, and we appreciate him for always taking the time to join us on the show. What's going on, Jordan? Everything good in your world as we are about halfway through the SEC basketball season?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on this afternoon. Pretty good. Not quite as sunny over here in Athens, a little bit rainy, but that rain's brought some warmer weather. So let me be honest, I'll take the rain all day if it means getting out of the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah, you don't have to turn the car heater on, the seats on, the hand warmer on the steering wheel if you drive the new fancy cars. Now, I hate that thing on those. I drove a rental car over Christmas break. The heated steering wheel, hated it, Christian. I was not a fan. Jordan, I don't know if you have that, but I'm not a fan.
No, not that fancy over here. And I will say it's always fun when you wind up in a rental car. You spend, at least I do, about the first 20 minutes trying to figure out how to turn everything off and how to get it going. But didn't have that problem over here in Athens.
Well, there's so much to get to with you talking things about Georgia athletics. And football has been quiet as of late, right? Portal is done. Signing day wasn't anything crazy for Georgia. And basketball has been busy. But before we talk about the Dogs in particular, we've got to bring you in and ask you about the ongoing situation that impacts Georgia. It impacts Auburn. It impacts every team in the SEC. It's the Charles Bediako stuff going on at Tuscaloosa. The idea that he left Alabama, he went and signed professional contracts, he was playing G League basketball, and then they all put their heads together and said, hey, why don't you come back and play for Alabama? And he is still playing for the Crimson Tide. We got an update today. They're requesting his hearing to be moved all the way back to February 18th. What are your general thoughts on this situation in particular, and then just the idea that we have semi-pro basketball players in the college game now?
Well, I think you took the words out of my mouth, Jacob. There's no real logical explanation to allow this to happen. And, Nate Oates is saying, well, I mean, these are the rules. Well, that might be the case. That doesn't mean you have to do this. And I think there's been some talk from the Alabama side trying to point to Philip Jovic as sort of the comparison.
Yeah.
And I think the international players coming over who have never played college basketball versus a guy that was what lasted Alabama 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's apples and oranges. It's not the biggest thing with me with a lot of the eligibility conversation. You're just not coming to the table and being honest with your case. You're making a case that you think helps you, but you're not being honest about your situation there. And, the thing that bothers me the most is a team like Alabama, they wind up having depth issues. And, if Nate Oates is as good of a coach as I've been led to believe, then he can work around it. You're going to have shortfalls on your roster. Good coaches figure out how to work their way around it. And, bringing back Bediako, if that was within the rules, then I guess that was within the rules. But it did not help them prevent Florida from scoring, I think, 72 points in the paint. Nate might want to look up some other Alabama alums, see if they can come help out.
Well, that's what we're doing, Jordan. We've got Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler on speed dial. I'm sure you have Anthony Edwards that you're wanting to make a little phone call if you need to, because if this goes through and that's now bleeding its way into the college football world with Joey Aguilar, which we haven't hit on yet, but will later on in the show. But, I mean, who's stopping any professional from coming back into the college game?
Yeah, I think this is sort of the thing that is ruining college sports. And I think about, I think this was back at SEC spring meetings that our buddy Brandon Marcello, who Auburn folks know well, he wrote a column. And, part of what he wrote was, I really don't care for covering college sports and it feeling like politics. And that's what it feels like a lot of this is. There's so much litigation involved in this. There's so much. The biggest thing for me, with the Bediako case, just continuing to roll the ball, further and further down. And like you said, I think February 18th is next. So that gives him more runway to play. It's ruining college athletics at a time when I could point to four or five other things that are really hurting college athletics right now. So I hate to see it. I just would really love to see a little bit more common sense put into place. But people are going to coaches, athletic directors, they're going to do what's best for them no matter what it actually means for the sport as a whole. And it's hurting the sport as a whole. And I think people need to be willing to look at the bigger picture if you're a coach or an athletic director and say, okay, this is not just about my school. We need to be a little bit smarter and we need to just kind of let this one go.
Well, it's one of the biggest storylines going on in college athletics right now. Charles Bediako, he will suit up tonight for Alabama as they play Texas A&M this evening. The biggest game in the SEC coming up tonight in college basketball. We got our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. But let's focus on athletes. Let's talk about Georgia as they are halfway through the SEC slate, as is Auburn, and most teams are as of this point. And nine games to go. If we had asked you this question 3 games ago, Jordan, you would have told us, and you did, that Georgia was feeling pretty good, but a 3-game losing streak as of late has vibes maybe not as high over in Athens right now.
Yeah, they are now 16-6, and like you said, Georgia's reached the halfway point. They are 4-5 in SEC play, and they're at a situation where they've really got a course correct. 3-game losing streak right now. Really tough week last week. They lose at home 86-85 to Tennessee in overtime. Really a tough ending for Smurf Millender, who was pretty much the driving force toward the end of the second half and then in overtime. Clock is winding down. Georgia needs a three, and he winds up hitting a layup with about a second left, a little bit less than a second left, so they wind up losing by one. Got out rebound, allowed 52 rebounds. 26 offensive boards for Tennessee. Frankly, they were lucky to get it in overtime. And then Texas A&M, A&M scores 22 of the first 24 points in that game. And to Georgia's credit, they bounced back. They made it tight, but they just could not stop that Texas A&M team. The defense for Georgia has really let them down here lately. And you look ahead, I really think starting with Saturday's game, they did not have a midweek game, as many SEC teams did not this week. But they go to LSU, and I think this is a must-win. You know, I was looking before we got on here at bracket matrix, looking at, you know, some of the projections for the bracket. And right now, Georgia is the last of nine SEC teams in. Georgia currently slotted as a nine seed. So they've got to take care of some business these next few weeks. I think at minimum, they got to get four more wins. I think five would make you feel a whole lot better, but it's not going to be easy. At LSU, you really need to take advantage, even though that's on the road. You know, you go to Oklahoma the following Saturday. And what I think is really challenging for Georgia, they've got some tough road games, but some of the home games left. I look at the last home game at Alabama in Athens. It's not going to be easy. So Georgia really missed some opportunities these last few weeks. I think the biggest one being the home loss to Ole Miss, where their defense just struggled mightily, gave up 97. They lost the game where they hit 15 three-pointers, and Mike White said afterwards he didn't think that had ever happened. To hit 15 three-pointers at home and wind up losing, he said that had never happened to him in his coaching career. So it's a pretty important stretch, I'd say, probably these next 2 weeks for Georgia. But I think it all really focuses on Saturday's game at LSU. If they were to lose that one, then Georgia's going to have to put together a really impressive stretch to stay on that NCAA tournament bubble.
We got our guy Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 here with us on the phone lines as he joins us every single Wednesday at 2:30. Jordan, you mentioned 16-6 are the Dogs, 4-5 in conference play, no midweek game, so it gives you a little bit of time to ramp up before you head to Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers, which you mentioned. You mentioned probably five wins are needed in that nine-game slate. You mentioned how, but or you mentioned that you need it, but how? What would you like to see this Mike White team really turn a focus on over the last couple of games to try and get into the NCAA tournament solidly?
I think the biggest thing is just rebounding. They knew going into this season they were going to go with a guard-heavy lineup, and with part of that, they knew they were probably going to be out-rebounded more often than not, but they've just got to kind of close those margins. Again, you know, I mentioned the Tennessee game. They allowed 52 rebounds. Texas A&M was not a team that had a significant size advantage, but they still out-rebounded Georgia on the road. They just got to close those gaps, and they got to get guys like Santo Cyril, get them more involved. He's been banged up a little bit, but I don't think he's been nearly as effective in the last week as he has to be. Blue Kane's a guy who you can usually count on for a lot of rebounds. Give him opportunities to do that as well. And then on the other end, you know, just defense. I think that this is a group, again, gave up 97 to Ole Miss, gave up 86 on the road. Our Tennessee was on the road and scored 86. And then 92 for Texas A&M in Athens on Saturday. So pretty fundamental stuff, pretty basic stuff. And just really interested to see what they look like in that LSU game. You've had additional time to kind of regroup. Did you take advantage of it? Or did you kind of find yourself feeling sorry for yourself on a three-game losing streak, their longest losing streak since last February? So I think we'll learn a lot about this team against LSU. You can never count on a win on the road in the SEC, but LSU is one of the worst teams in the SEC this season. Mm-hmm. Need to take advantage. You need to get this win. Otherwise, you follow that game in LSU back home hosting Florida, and I don't know that you want to be kind of dragging playing a Gators team that I think is the best team in the SEC right now.
Mike White was hired in March of 2022 there at Athens, replaced Tom Crean, who had been there for, I believe, 4 years. And Mike White now in his fourth year at the University of Georgia, making the NCAA tournament last year. Jordan, if this season doesn't turn around in the back half, and let's say that it doesn't go well against a lot of those teams that you just talked about with Florida and Kentucky and Texas and Vandy and Alabama, for a team that is in and out of the tournament bubble, let's say they miss the tournament. Are there conversations starting to be had in Athens about Mike White being the guy who was a home run hire at the time? But do those conversations start to happen in the offseason if the back half of this season doesn't go well?
I think you would see heat come up on him, on Mike White. I don't anticipate, unless the bottom just falls out, I don't really see a situation where he would be fired after this season, given what they accomplished last year, you know, getting back to the NCAA tournament. But I think everybody around the program would recognize this was a missed opportunity. You know, and Georgia did really well in non-conference play. started conference play with that big overtime win at home against Auburn, and have played well in some other games. But there's no question about it that Georgia has had opportunities. But there are games you can point to on the schedule that you say if a possession here or there go differently, if you play a little bit better defense, if you rebound a little bit better, you are maybe firmly in, at least in much better footing as you are right now. So I think it would be a situation, let's say they don't make the tournament. I think Mike gets a fifth year, but he has to make the NCAA tournament next year. I think that people would recognize that they have a very talented team this year. Obviously, there's some flaws, but they understand that's just what it's like and that you're not going to win them all in the SEC. So, yeah, I think he would have to make it next year if they miss out this year, largely because you had taken care of business in November, December, and
right,
a good part of January, but you weren't able to follow that and finish strong and have some games that were right there for the taking that you just failed to take advantage of.
Georgia heads to Baton Rouge on Saturday before a midweek date with Florida in Athens this time next week. And our man Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247 will have all of the coverage for you with everything you need to know pregame, during the game, postgame as well. My friend, we always appreciate your time and your insight on everything Georgia athletics. Let the people know where they can find everything you have going on. And I know you have a fellow writer who will be covering Georgia baseball that begins next weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Olivia Sayer covers Georgia baseball for us, and I believe they get started on February 13th, so you guys can follow her. And dogs247.com on Twitter, at dogs247. A lot of good stuff going on. We're not that far from spring practice. Like you guys said, we are in the middle of SEC basketball and getting that thing going. So excited to keep this up. It's still a very busy time here in Athens, but we wouldn't change that for anything, and enjoying it and ready to keep this thing rolling. And before you know it, guys, we'll be up to spring practice.
Yeah, really looking forward to that coverage and getting inside on the Georgia roster. At least we know what the roster is now, Jordan. We don't have to worry about the portal and all the changes between now and the non-existent spring portal anymore and have to stress all the changes, right?
Unless Charlie Condon just wants to come back and then, you know, you can just sign his pro deal away.
Yeah, don't give them any ideas. But the thing I'm happiest about, knock on wood, just want to say the spring game's back on TV. You know, a lot of schools did away with that because they didn't want other teams scouting their guys. So I hope that cooler heads have prevailed there. And, you know, if you can't make it out to Sanford Stadium, if you can't make it out to Jordan-Hare, I hope everyone's able to watch it on TV.
Yeah, great point there. Jordan, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll do it again next Wednesday, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Jordan Hill, Dawgs 247, longtime guest of the program, covers Georgia better than anybody. Always appreciate his insight and taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, I heard Matthew Stafford after making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's available.
Wants to come back and play in Athens. And how long until, again, I appreciate Jordan Hill for joining us, but how long until there's a college team that goes and gets a player that did not play college basketball or baseball for them?
Oh, you're saying, like, I played at the University of Washington, but Texas has called to recruit me. Are you talking about getting somebody from, like...
The Betty Ocko situation. But imagine
so
if they
were playing semi-pro or pro ball.
Yeah, but imagine if it wasn't Alabama that called Betty Ocko, and it was...
I'm surprised it hasn't
happened
already.
It was UConn or somebody like that.
I mean, this opens the door for that.
It's wild.
This opens the door. It's like, hey, this is Dan Hurley. You up?
Mm-hmm.
Like... I know you didn't play for me, but I always knew you were a Husky at heart. You'll see it with guys who I guarantee these five-star recruits who are recruited by all these big programs, right? You pick Texas over Indiana, but you played at Texas, you graduated from Texas, you're now playing G League ball. Indiana says, man, we need some help. Want to come play for the Hoosiers? You didn't choose us in high school, but you can choose us now.
You can choose us now and make it all right.
Unless there's a line drawn and a boundary set. Yeah, that's bound to happen.
Funny.
Oh, funny that it's just never going to happen.
Funny that you said a line drawn or, you know, they wouldn't.
Oh, rules, boundaries, you know. Yeah, not going to happen.
No.
But
before we get to our break, which will make our last segment very, very quick, I guess I never put two and two together that the baseball season, again, gets started Friday, February 13th. But
next weekend.
Man, you hear the joke about how can you not be romantic about baseball? I mean, that's Valentine's Day weekend.
Ah, it is. That's also Mardi Gras here.
What a connection, and so much so that I went to go look at Auburn baseball's their schedule where they play again Youngstown State that weekend on Saturday, February 14th. They have a promotion of singles night bracelets.
Oh, Auburn does?
Yeah.
So you could show up to the ballpark and find your next true love,
yeah,
because you're both going to have bright yellow bracelets on that you can't miss. I mean, bars do it. Why can't Plainsman Park do
it? Yeah, with like the different colored cups and everything.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm here. I'm here for a hookup.
I'm here.
I'm
do
here,
not talk to me.
I'm here. Don't talk to me. I'm here for support for my friend over there.
Yeah.
Or I'm here and single. Could be open to the idea of maybe talking to you. Or, yeah, leave me the hell alone. So, there you go.
Now you get all of that here with the singles night bracelets on.
Good for
Saturday,
baseball,
February 14th.
Man. Looking out for the people. Looking out for the folks. How about that?
That's cool. The Sunday afternoon game, there's a helmet guy helmet giveaway.
Oh, that's really cool. I know. I saw that they honored him at like their first pitch event.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks
ago.
And
then, yeah, you mentioned that Tuesday is the Mardi Gras game against Cincinnati where there are orange and blue beads giving away. Auburn is giving away.
That's crazy. The Bearcats are going to come in here and win that game. That's wild.
Who can collect? No. It's not how you collect beads at the baseball game. You do it by scoring runs.
That was terrible. Oh, geez. Okay, we got to get to break. We got to pay the bills. We'll be back for the quickest segment in the history of the show, and we'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. I'm not even going to turn Christian's microphone on because by the time I do, we will be getting kicked out of here. Never mind. We have a little bit longer. We have like a whole 15 seconds, man. Anything
Heck
on your
yeah.
mind?
I
do. I have something on my mind. Shout out to the local kids on National Signing Day for high school.
Yes.
Auburn High had 34 kids sign this morning across several major sports, including lacrosse, esports, golf. Pretty impressive. And then the main ones, football, basketball, baseball, stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, we're in an era where you've got kids competing in esports at the college level, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you've seen what they've done to
at the university,
the student center.
Yeah.
I mean, they've turned that whole
yeah.
place into a crazy
yeah.
event. And, yeah, so shout out those guys. And shout out the two Maxes for Lee Scott Academy, Max Hammer and
yeah.
Max Shiver,
yeah,
who
big
are
deal.
Continuing their college careers on the gridiron as well.
Yep, so shout out to all the local kids signing their NLI to go play at the next level. But hour number one is in the books. Stick around. Double D, Daryl Dapperidge from Locked On Auburn joins us to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday in Auburn, Alabama. And if you missed any of our number one, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We have it for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com, or you could check it out in the Radio Alabama app or on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcast. In our number one, we gave some passionate thoughts about the Charles Bediako ongoing situation. Talked about that was so unnecessary.
That was fantastic. That was a good one, too. That was pretty good.
It was. The chances that anybody gets that reference.
Probably not.
Not on this, not our audience. They our audience gets
one
a lot
more time,
of stupid
a little sexier.
No, that's okay. No. We talked about Charles Bediako in our number one to where you thought that saga was coming to a close this Friday. No, no. He got extended by a couple of weeks. And so there is a good chance that he will suit up this Saturday against Auburn. He will suit up tonight against Texas A&M. So we gave thoughts on that. Plus, we talked to our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 to get all the updates from Athens on the Georgia Bulldogs. So that was in our number one. If you missed it, check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're getting our guy Double D, Daryl Daprich, on the phone lines. Unfortunately, it is on the phone lines here for you on the show today, but we still get to spend a little bit of time, and man, we're grateful to be able to. We're going to recap Auburn's first nine games, a little bit of what we did yesterday, talk about if he likes where Auburn is at right now, and then we'll look towards the final nine games in this 18-game SEC schedule. We'll also look at the SEC as a whole, and if you didn't look at any other teams, you didn't look at any other names, but we placed Auburn on a 16-team spot where Auburn sits right now. Would you be okay with it? Would you be happy with it? And we'll get Daryl's thoughts on that. We'll also talk about what needs to happen in these nine games and let him give his rant on Charles Bediako in there as well. And it'll be a perfect segue to not necessarily the most similar conversation to Charles Bediako, but Joey Aguilar has some news and some NCAA drama as well, because you thought he was out of eligibility and is out of eligibility, but he is now suing, and conveniently a judge in Knox, Tennessee has put a restraining order on the NCAA. We'll give our thoughts on that, but I think we have a priority here to start hour number two.
All I know that is if I get in legal trouble, I'm going to find a lawyer in my hometown.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I have learned in this whole situation. Like, I'm going back to Cashtown, Ohio. There better be a lawyer that I went to school with, and you better represent me, because that's what I've learned in
We're
this
just
whole
getting
situation.
The on the linebackers, or the on the line drivers.
Yeah, there's got to be, I know a couple of lawyers in this town that listen to a lot of our content here on our radio stations. I'm giving one of y'all a call. That's what I've learned. Don't call a random lawyer. Call a lawyer you know.
You know who we really need to call.
Do you call Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn? If anybody needs to represent us in court, it's Double D. What's going on, brother? Happy Wednesday.
Well, my cousin Vinny did a good job. He wasn't local. But he was from Ralph Macchio's hometown, if you think about it. So I think that's why he was able to get it done.
It was in his blood, right? He had no choice
Vinny
but to
Gambini,
be good.
Vinny Gambini, right? Vinny Gambino. Yeah, it was in his blood. He did a good job. So I agree with you. It's go get somebody that knows you.
Well,
so
Daryl,
where you grew up from.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have personal ties to a judge or a lawyer, I mean, you may not. That's what college athletics is teaching us nowadays. Not morals, not values, not teamwork. Call a politician or a lawyer or a judge that you know to get your way so you get everything that you want in this life. Well, Daryl, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We are sad that it's not in studio. We were kind of hoping and looking out the window expecting you to roll around the corner and
come
in.
Yeah, we're expecting
today,
a man in a Jeep in shades with maybe the flat top even down today.
Yeah.
But
I missed it. That was fun. It's only been a week and I missed it already.
Yeah.
So I told Ben Taylor the only downside was I had to look at his picture on the wall. I had to look over there and see it. And then I said, I got 8x10 glossies, and they're going to hold them up when Bediako shoots free throws Saturday behind the goal.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because that topic has dominated our show today, and rightfully so, because it's just the most absurd thing I think we've ever seen in college athletics. No way you have thoughts on the Charles Bediako ongoing debacle and the fact that there's a pretty good chance that he does suit up inside of Neville Arena on Saturday.
Well, you know, they're getting that injunction to try to extend the hearing to the middle of February, which is no coincidence. That means he gets to play 4 or 5 more games. If I'm the NCAA, I just either fish or cut bait. Make a decision. Say, no, we're going to go ahead and rule on this. And, you know, if you're going to grant him eligibility, just freaking do it already. If you're not, then don't. This dragging it out stuff is what's ridiculous. And, you know, but again, in a way, it's weird because it's a cloud hanging over the Alabama basketball program of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
The longer it goes, the less resolved it gets. And I think Stephen Pearl is 100% correct in preparing Saturday with your game plan like Bediako is in the lineup, period. It just needs to be that way. So anything you scheme or anything you draw up needs to be under the premise that he's going to play. And, you know, it's just, it's sad. It's the state of affairs that we're in. But let's be honest. What are they, 1-3 since he got back in the lineup?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't really made that huge of a difference. Now, he might tonight. They may come out and smoke A&M. But, I mean, you know, it's not they've left the poll. Since he's played, they've lost a couple of SEC games. He is a difference maker, but you wonder if it has something to do with chemistry, if they've upset the chemistry, which or whatever style of play. Are they trying to force the ball into him too much instead of taking that free flow and three that they've had? You know, as far as running the offense, there's a lot of what ifs. But let's just get it over with. Let's just quit letting it hang over and just get drawn out. That's what needs to happen.
Darrell, we had a question in our on-the-line text box in hour number one, and we know that it's a little bit of comparing apples to oranges, but wanted your thoughts on this as well. Of you have the Charles Bediako situation, but you also have the Filip Jovic situation. And so as an Auburn fan, or I guess just as a college basketball fan, would you be okay if it was the, okay, there's no Bediako, but there's also no Filip Jovic? I know that that's not a direct comparison, but your thoughts on that whole situation of
Alabama trying to combine
the two?
Yeah, if you're given the choice, I'd rather Jovic be on Auburn's team if that meant Bediako playing in Alabama, because what you need to concern yourself with first and foremost is your team being as good as it can be.
Sure.
Focus on your team being the best it can be personnel-wise, and let everybody else worry about everybody else's team. Taking Jovic off that roster weakens Auburn's roster. So regardless of what anybody else does, you just need to have tunnel vision and be concerned about what Auburn does and Auburn's roster. And it's a better basketball team with Jovic on the roster. So given a choice, I'd say, yeah, let Bediako play if that means. Now, they are apples and oranges. And I understand, you know, that a lot of Alabama social media people and bloggers want to make comparisons to Jovic and Bediako.
No way, Darrell. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, to Philip Marshall and Cecil Hurt and make disparaging comments about Philip Marshall. And, you know, that's worry about your side of the state, you know, and apples and oranges are just that. They're comparing different things. And I think that first and foremost, it's about Auburn and its roster being the strongest it can be. So that's why it's a different situation. And to make the comparison is asinine, but, you know, whatever. I mean, go get more European guys next year then. That's what Auburn will do. Go get some guys that are – I mean, Arizona has two of them.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lloyd is a master at that. And I only say that because they're the number one team in the country and they have two European guys. They're professionals that came over. And
it's a growing trend in basketball. It's a growing trend right now.
And so, you know, a growing, but it wasn't a growing trend to get a guy drafted that was in the NBA and play the G League to come back and play. There's a difference. And so, you know, whatever. Worry about Auburn and just beat them with Bediako on the floor.
Well, we talk about Auburn right now with our man Daryl Dapperts of Locked On Auburn and the Barn. He's with us every Wednesday at 3:05 to start the second hour of the program. Tigers are halfway through, Daryl. Halfway through their SEC schedule. 9 games in, Tigers with Stephen Pearl in year 1, 5-4 on the year in the SEC. Of course, they were on a 4-game losing streak. They go to Knoxville. They can't get it done. They now enter the backstretch. Your initial thoughts on what you saw Saturday night in Knoxville, and then we'll talk about the backstretch of this SEC slate.
Full disclosure, why I didn't do the post game Saturday is because I was on a trip. I was out of town,
okay,
and I didn't get to watch much of the Auburn-Tennessee game. I did get back to the hotel. I had a little granddaughter trip planned Saturday. My youngest daughter's getting married, so we were trying to get out of town. It was a lot of fun, and so that's why I didn't do the post game Saturday.
So you chose family over basketball, Daryl? Come on.
I did. I really did. And
good for you, bro.
And so I watched some. We it was so cold where we were that they closed down some rides and did some things. And so we got back to the hotel a couple hours earlier than I thought I was going to. Turns out I could have done the post game. So I watched some of it, but it was kind of with one eye on the TV, not as much as I am engaged. Bottom line is this, though. I watched enough to know that if Auburn would have boxed out better and would have hit some threes like they had been doing a couple games previous, they win that game on the road, period. I mean, it's ifs and buts. I get it, candy and nuts, all that stuff. But they just hit a few more threes, and every time they'd get to within three and you'd have that opportunity, they just couldn't get over the hump. But if you hit, three or four more threes, which still would not have given you a scorching three-point shooting percentage, and if you boxed out and limited Tennessee's second-chance points a little bit more, you win that game comfortably, 6, 8, 10 points. So, law of averages, Auburn's won 5 of 7. They've been playing good basketball. They get the week off, which is good. They don't have to play a midweek game. And it's unfortunate because it felt like it was right there for the taking. But that's kind of one of those guys that you look at the schedule and you go, L. I mean, I hate to say it. You should never concede if you're a student athlete, and I hope they're not. But as a fan or as a media person and you try to project where Auburn's going to finish, you kind of project that as a loss. And then, it's going to get – this schedule is going to get a lot easier in about 10 days. And Auburn, if they can just hold their head above water, and I kept talking about going 2-2 during that tough stretch, they should get to 10 or 11 wins in the conference, could be as much as a 6th seed, and then see what happens from there.
Daryl, do you take wins like Florida or even maybe Texas as makeup games for some of the earlier games? As we mentioned, the Georgia and Texas A&M and Missouri, those frustrating losses right there. Does a win over Florida kind of counterbalance some of those, all in the grand scheme of being 5-4 smack dab in the middle of the SEC schedule through 9 games?
It kind of does. That's a great point because it all evens out at the end. I think at some point you have to get ahead of the curve and above that. But, if you look at it, at the end of the year, I can guarantee you Todd Golden, Florida, would like a do-over. When they would love to play that Auburn game again. Auburn would love to play that Georgia and Missouri and Texas A&M game again. Honestly, coming out of that, if Auburn played those 3 games right now in this point of the season, no way they go any less than 2-1.
I agree.
They don't lose all 3, and they probably win 2 of them. Now where are you at in the SEC if you do that, right? So it's all about do-overs and, separate opportunities and that kind of thing. And I'm sure Florida thinks that, they would love to play Auburn and have that situation. So we'll see. I mean, you still got LSU. You got Ole Miss. You got Mississippi State. You got some teams on the schedule that are very beatable. I think you got Georgia at home again. You got Vanderbilt at home, which is going to be tough. They're, a good basketball team. I still don't think they're as good as their record indicates. I think it's a little bit of a misnomer because of their non-conference schedule. And remember, they lost 3 in a row at some point during the year. So I just think that at the end of the year, a lot of times you could start swapping games and go, we could have won this one, but we didn't plan on winning this one. Up until the Florida game, I think every game Auburn's won, they should have won. But I believe that Auburn has lost a couple they shouldn't have lost. So in the end, Auburn should still have, even winning that Florida game, Auburn should still have at least 6 or 7 SEC wins in my mind, because they lost 3 games I think they should not have lost and they won one they shouldn't have won or were predicted to win. And so, you know, you look at the net on that, plus two or plus three is what it should be.
Double D, Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn, joining us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we flash forward to this Saturday afternoon inside of Neville Arena. It's part one of the Iron Bowl of basketball, Auburn and Alabama. Two teams record-wise are just about as even as it comes. Two teams who are looking for a big-time win. Daryl, your thoughts on the Alabama Crimson Tide with or without Charles Bediako and the threat that they bring to Neville on Saturday?
Well, I think this is a strange, you know, the last three, four, 5 years, the state of Alabama has been able to beat its chest with what they've done for college basketball and especially in the SEC. Let's recap. Three Final Fours between the two of them. Multiple regular season conference titles. Multiple conference tournament titles. And now this year there seems to be a little bit of a step back, a little bit of a recession. Both teams come into this game not ranked. Both teams come into this a little bit above 500 in the conference. So it's got a little different feel to it. Strangely, Alabama has played to me a little bit better on the road than they have at home. And they beat Auburn and Neville last year at the end of the year. Auburn went over to Coleman and beat them in Coleman. So has Texas and so has Tennessee this year. So it's got a weird dynamic to it. A really weird dynamic to it. I would not be shocked if these two teams split again. I just got a feeling that Saturday, with Auburn coming off of a week's rest, Alabama having to play Sunday, Wednesday, that Auburn will be the fresher team. Neville will be really, really jacked and amped, and we'll see what happens. The game tonight is going to be very interesting. If you're an Auburn fan, do you want Alabama to get beat and come into Neville with the chances of losing three in a row, licking their wounds a little bit? Or does that make them dangerous? Does that put them like a caged animal back into a corner or back against the wall? If they win the game, they've been kind of back and forth all year. Alabama's been like, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Well, that puts them right back on the trajectory of they lost, they won, and then they could lose again Saturday. So it's kind of a unique dynamic of what's better for Auburn about what happens tonight.
We'll see what happens. Alabama, Texas A&M tonight. Auburn and Alabama Saturday afternoon. Darryl, are you going to be in Auburn Saturday afternoon for the game?
I will not. I had something of all games. I had something. I'll be covering it, and I'll be done with whatever I have to do right at tip, and I'll be doing the game live. I will not be in the arena, however, because there was something that's been on the calendar for 4 or 5 months that I have to attend. It's, you know, my work release program that I have to – I'm just teasing.
You didn't even give me time to think about it and react before you corrected me.
Yeah, you got silent. I was like, oh, gosh, what happened? We just got in trouble with the FCC. I just have something I have to do family-wise. And so, but I'll be there to I'll be able to watch the game and do the show, post-game show right afterwards.
Well, tell the people how they can find all that stuff coming up on Saturday, my friend.
Locked On Auburn episode dropped this morning. If people want to catch that on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, we'll have another one Friday. Saturday, going live after the Auburn-Alabama game, and then Sunday night, 8 o'clock, live, the Barncast with our good friend Charlie Five and Zach Blackaby.
Darryl, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk again next Wednesday.
All right, you guys have a great one. Take care.
Darryl Dappert's Locked On Auburn and the Barn. Check him out on those two places. He is as active as they come. And you heard him. He will be covering Auburn and Alabama this weekend for the Iron Bowl of basketball on the hardwood. So.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know if it looked like you had something to say, so I was tossing it to you.
Thanks, Darryl. That's all I got.
Okay. To break we go. We'll pay the bills. We'll come back. We will continue talking some college basketball. Plus, we have more updates on players trying to get more eligibility. Yay. Hope you're not tired of it because we have more of it. But there were games last night in college basketball, games tonight in college basketball as well. We talk about those when we come back as we're off and running in hour number two here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn, who joins us every Wednesday at 3:05 to talk all things Auburn athletics. And big games coming up in college basketball. Had some big games last night, Christian. Tonight isn't as loaded, right? This week isn't as loaded either, just because a lot of teams are, especially in the SEC and things, they're off for the midweek, right, and things like that. I mean, last night was not overly crazy. The Red Hawks stay undefeated, though, baby. Miami of Ohio still undefeated, dog. They are 23-0, top 25 in Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, Buffalo airballed a three as time expired. That I guess it wasn't technically an airball. It hit the net, but only the bottom of the net, but enough to where for a split second I thought it went in, and I thought that Buffalo just beat Miami 74-73, but no, there were what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 total seven total ranked teams in action, but no, not one top 25 game, and every single ranked team won last night. But inside the SEC, the most dramatic thing, I guess, or like, even in the college sports world, is the Chris Beard ejection.
Dude,
that
yes.
He had last night in Knoxville, of losing his mind, walking off the floor, running back to his team, into the huddle.
Are we calling that running? Are we going to call that running? I don't know, man. That I've done a lot of running in my time. I don't think I call that running.
He might.
I hope not.
He swift, no, not even swiftly.
It. I don't know.
Rumbled.
I don't know.
He toddler stomped his way back to.
He scurried. He scurried his way.
Scurry is like really small. Like,
I don't know. That's about the best I come up with. He scurried back to his bench.
Back to the bench for all of 5 seconds to try and pump everybody up, and then just calmly walked right back to the police officer that was escorting him out away from the bench.
Yeah, which, I mean, I get it, right? Sometimes, how many times do we say that in a year? It's like, come on, man, get thrown out.
Yeah.
Get teed up right here. You
just
won't.
One of those moments of, and unfortunately enough, Ole Miss just doesn't have it this year. They fall 84-66. But, yeah, how many times do you sit there and you're like, Steven, fire this team up right now. Or
do it.
Bruce, you didn't have to ask, but
no.
There was once a game or once every other game. But yeah, just one of those games where you feel like the odds are beginning to sway against you and you've been shafted a couple of times in a row and you need to make a little bit of a statement and fire this team up. I mean, he tried.
He tried, but they got outscored by 17 in the second half.
Yeah.
They were down big at that point anyway. I think it was double digits in that moment. So, yeah, that was an awkward situation.
Did you see the rebounding number in that game? 40-23. Tennessee is so good. It's 17 offensive rebounds.
That's ridiculous, man. That'll keep them in every game they play. They're not going to win the title. They're not going to go deep in March, but they'll win some games because of that right there. Texas takes down South Carolina. Really the only game of note tonight is Alabama-Texas A&M. Oklahoma goes to Rupp, but I don't expect that to be anything, but you never know. But yeah, it's Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa as a 9.5-point underdog.
And who would have thought Kentucky is only an 8.5-point favorite against 1-8 Oklahoma? The only dramatics that come from that is Otega Owe going from Oklahoma to Kentucky.
Yeah, but it's in Rupp. If this was in Norman, there may be a little bit more drama. But speaking of drama, we have more in college football as another big name tries to return for another season.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And if you want to be a part of the show, phone lines are open the rest of the way. If you'd like to call in with your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports, you can do so now at 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 to give us a call, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we're going to talk about another situation in college athletics. We've had a lot of fascinating takes and different perspectives on the Charles Bediako stuff at Alabama. That's in college basketball. We have another one in college football with a prominent player from the SEC who's trying to return for another season. But I did want to read some of the notes from folks who were at the Waltos Performance Center right now for Auburn football as Alex Golish is currently meeting with the media. We didn't want to just grip and rip the audio and play it for you, but we wanted to at least read the highlights, and we'll kind of discuss some more of this tomorrow as well. But he talks about National Signing Day, talks about the portal, right? The number is officially 40. Players through the transfer portal that Auburn brought in. They felt they brought in the right guys, right? He says that they completely reloaded at wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line, which I think is very true when you look at it on paper. He says that they've already started to get a jump start on 2027 recruiting, which is also true, which is nice to hear. They're in several races right now to get some big-time kids in 2027, including one of the nation's best quarterbacks. So that's exciting. His message to that 2027 class, Christian, is to get Auburn back to winning. That's what he wants to do, which it's what the last coach said.
I was about to say, I mean, that's been the topic of conversation since 2020.
When Gus was fired.
But, and you feel like, I guess you say this with every coach, but just with meeting and talking and being around Coach Golish at least a little bit and seeing now what he's done, you don't feel like that's that coach speak of blowing smoke up everybody's you know what, whether the fan base is or the players that are there or the players that are trying to come to Auburn. You feel like there's a legitimacy factor, which is relieving, I guess you could say. And I mean, I guess there's the pressure of the fact of we haven't seen him coach a game inside Jordan-Hare yet, but so far the right boxes are being checked.
He talked about the 13 guys coming from South Florida, just to kind of to briefly discuss those guys, says that most of them are out of necessity because they didn't have a choice, right? They had to go get players to fill gaps and fill holes, and that's what they did was with South Florida players. Talks about how a lot of them know the offensive system, also brought in some of the younger guys, and they believe that they can be special down the line. They did get asked about, or he got asked rather, again, Alex Golish, I think he's about to wrap up with media right now, asking about running back one, RB1s, from several schools alongside of Jeremiah Cobb. Says you've got to have multiple guys who are going to run the heck out of the football, is what he said. He said that you got to have guys who can come in and compete. Says three different running backs coming from three different styles of play is what they feel that they have brought in. And so talked about Byron Brown a little bit. What else did he talk about here? He says wants to leave the spring knowing who the best 11 are, the next 11, and who can help after that. Said he had to go get immediate production on the offensive line in the transfer portal, and he feels good about where the O-line stands, at least on paper right now. So that's kind of some of the notes from what Alex Golish had to say today.
Again, I mean, for me, it's checking the right boxes. The fact that you openly talk about filling those big spots at offensive line and loading up the receivers of the comfort level that he has with a lot of those guys, again, coming from South Florida, whether that's the skill position, whether that's the guys up front, and again, especially on the offensive line of, man, it feels feels relieving that there's not going to be, yes, there's a new system at Auburn, but it doesn't feel like a new system that every single new kid that's, whether or not you're returning to Auburn or you're coming in through the transfer portal, you're not having to learn an entire new system.
Auburn fans will like the sound of this. Alex Golish also says that Auburn will have one single play caller on offense this fall with offensive coordinator Joel Gordon.
Woo!
But
he
emphasized, this is from our buddy Mike G at the War Report, he says, but Golish emphasized that he's been known to, quote, speak up at times. Golish also went on to say his hit percentage on touchdowns is pretty good when he speaks up.
Good.
So, we've heard this story before.
We have.
But it's, like you said, maybe a little easier to buy. I don't know.
It's easier to buy from the standpoint of when your resume and the numbers speak on your side and on your behalf, of rather than, again, not taking a shot at the previous coaches, but seeing success at certain levels but not other levels, or seeing success in college football a decade ago, right? You're seeing success from the SEC as a coordinator to a head coach at the G5 level and putting up numbers that if there was anybody that had legitimate stock, or if South Florida made it to the college football playoff, I mean, Byron Barham's in New York at the end of the year based off of the numbers that him and the offense put together. And so I'm in.
Yeah, you know where I stand. I like the guy personally. I don't know him all that well, obviously, since he hasn't been here that long. But for me, with Alex Golish, with this new staff, with all these new players, at least on the offensive side of the football, right, I am withholding my excitement. I am withholding my judgment, good and bad, to be quite honest with you, right? Because how often have we jumped on it and say, this is it. This is, it's going to turn around. It's going to happen right here. Auburn football is back, baby. And then we just get screwed. We get burned. Yeah. We get hurt, right? I'm not doing that. But I'm also not jumping on the negative side of it and saying, really? You hired a guy from the G5? You hired a guy from South Florida? Like, can he really do it at this? I'm not going there either.
It's the same type of mentality of the players now. We're G6 now. Used to be not frowned upon, but it wasn't taken with as much legitimacy. You feel like that's gone a little bit by the wayside now.
I'm just in full see it to believe it mode.
Sure.
Give me something to buy into rather than I look at it like cryptocurrency, man. I don't buy cryptocurrency because I don't believe it's real. I think it's fake.
Yeah.
I think it's going to disappear one day. I really do. I ain't buying it if I can't see it. If you don't give me something and some sort of proof, then I'm not buying into it, good or bad.
Yeah.
And until the offense for Auburn football hits the field this fall, I'm not buying it.
I'm buying into the steps, right? The stepping stones and the process. And that can very easily be won over based off of what one side of the football – sorry, based off of the specific offensive side of the football, because we know one side of the football is going to look good, but based off of what the offensive side of the football looks like, it's so easy to then put those two separating tactics and those separating mindsets into one.
Yeah, defensively, man, shoot. Here's my bank account number, man. Yeah. Put it on it. Put it on the house. I don't care. Like, defense is going to be fine. Could there be some positions that take a step back this year? I think so. I think linebacker is going to be great. I think the secondary has every chance to be great with guys that you bring back, some of those young guys that are stepping up who played significant snaps last year, right? Interior defensive line, got to kind of wait and see. Defensive end, got to wait and see. You got young guys there. You got talented guys. But I'm not the same way I'm not buying into Auburn football's offense until I see it is the same line of thinking with the Auburn football defense and defensive coordinator DJ Durk. And I've seen it, brother. I'm good. We're good. You don't need to prove it to me. Pick up that putt. Let's move on to the next hole. I'm good. I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
I got it. That's how I feel. And whether that's fair or not for the offense and goalish, I don't know. You could say it's fair, not fair, mean, judgy. I don't care. That's how I feel.
You would hope that he, not that he cares what you or I think, but
as he shouldn't.
But right. But just from a coaching perspective, especially taking a new role, a new job, you hope that he has that mindset of, yes, I want the Auburn fan base and the Auburn family to be bought in, but I also have my duties and my responsibilities that I need to uphold. That way, you then follow the success.
And weirdly enough, I feel like the previous two head coaches, Malzahn in the – well, sorry. Wow, I just totally disregarded Brian Harsin there. Whoops. Gus Malzahn and – yeah, remember him? Gus Malzahn in the back half of his tenure here, and then Hugh Freeze. I feel like those two guys fell into that trap of, I worked everywhere else I've been.
Correct.
I was a great high school football coach. I was a great offensive coordinator here. Yeah. I was a great head coach at Arkansas State. My offensive game plans worked phenomenally. They worked great the first 3 years I was here.
Yeah. Linemen will come.
Yeah. It'll work out. It'll be
even,
fine.
Not even the Hugh Freeze. That's even adding to the Brian Harsin line of,
I'm a genius.
Yeah. When we win, they'll want to come to Auburn.
And that just doesn't work, right? And then Hugh Freeze came in, and it was, well, we haven't seen it in a while, but we know it's in there. We know the offensive scheme is there. He beat Alabama. He had Ole Miss playing good football. Surely it can work. It'll correlate. It's copy and paste, right?
I mean, by God, we were close.
We were so damn close. It's unbelievable. Like, so close. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So that's the thing that Alex Golish and company and Joel Gordon cannot fall into. Again, Joel Gordon, the offensive coordinator for Auburn. Alex Golish speaking with the media today says he... Alex Golish says that Joel Gordon will be the lone play caller, but Golish is known to speak up from time to time with a pretty high success rate of scoring touchdowns. But that's the trap that they cannot fall into, is we're just going to stay the same. We're just going to do exactly what we're going to do. Nothing is different. There's no difference from playing SEC football at Auburn to playing G6 football at South Florida. Everything is going to be fine.
And you feel like the fire that Golish speaks with shows that he understands that trap is not even an option.
I will admit to seeing and feeling and hearing that. I absolutely
see
it. And
that's from the media perspective of how in those meetings it doesn't feel like the coach speak of – yeah, let me just get in and out of this press conference, especially the ones, his introductory press conference and the couple that he had early on after that. You could, again, you felt the energy and the motivation. It didn't feel as if he was writing words down on pages and then speaking them out an hour later.
Mm-hmm. For a guy that you have to remember has, I mean, been drinking through a fire hydrant, man. I mean, this guy has not slept, I don't think, since he got here.
It's a fire hose.
It is, but think about drinking through a fire hydrant. Even tougher. Think about drinking through a fire hydrant without a fire hose.
That has the kink and then unkinked and then kinked and unkinked?
No, I'm saying just don't even hook up the hose. Just knock off the lid or side or whatever the heck it is. And let it fly up. Yeah, then imagine drinking out of that. Yeah, it's like when you hit it. You know, the car runs into it in the movies, you know?
In the movies.
Or in real life. Yeah. When's the last time you've seen a car run into a fire hydrant in real life?
I haven't, but I thought that was where you were going with it, and I didn't think you were going to say in the movies. And
no.
So I was going to ask if you had ever seen it.
Did you know that fire hydrants are colored or painted different colors for different reasons? Like, I forget exactly why. I probably should have known the whole factoid before I tried sharing it on the radio, but fire hydrants are painted different colors for specific reasons.
I do remember hearing that. Here, let's see.
I don't remember exactly why. But I know that that's a thing.
It's for the capacity. For industrial strength, residential strength, and just adequate strength. Like, there's...
Oh, okay. So, basically, you know, it's like, okay, the house is on fire. We can use this fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And then there's also... warehouse is on fire, so we need to go use the other fire
hydrant. And then there's public property, like non-working, and then reclaimed water, too. There's a lot of steps to fire hydrants.
How about that? It's almost like firemen are important and good at their jobs.
So what you're saying is that Alex Golish has been drinking from the blue fire hydrants.
Is that the industrial fire hydrant?
That is 1,500 plus gallons per minute, which is very, very good flow.
Mr. Coach Golish, have you felt like you've been drinking out of a blue fire hydrant by chance since you got here? I know you haven't slept much.
Next question, we'll be escorting you out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. We'll take your credential at the door. Okay, well, there you go. Wanted to highlight that again. Alex Golish just wrapped up meeting with the media today. Of course, we were not able to be there, but we are on the air. Wanted to share some of the original notes, the initial notes with you. And, yeah, I think there's excitement building for Auburn football on the plains.
And so, we've – oh.
Oh, no, go ahead. Oh. You got it.
I was saying, and teasing Golish's old team for long enough with Joey Aguilar. I guess we'll hit that news.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the show
on the way out.
Yeah, we'll talk Joey Swagular as he's trying to make his way back to college football. No way, right?
I was trying to think of another nickname, but...
You got 3 minutes to think about it. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the Wednesday edition of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we are done. We'll hand it off to The Drive. And we've teased it for quite some time, Christian. Would you like to talk Joey Aguilar?
Not really.
We can push it tomorrow. It's fine.
Oh, man. No. And I also didn't come up with a better nickname.
Yeah, you failed. It's fine.
We do have one
with
from
AI at
from
your
our buddy
disposal.
Tripp. Dragular, as he drags his way through college, which is solid. We'll give credit where it's due. No.
You know where I'm going. I can't say it.
I don't know where you're going.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, Joey Aguilar is or was a senior, is a senior, but he has been granted a temporary restraining order from the NCAA from a judge in where?
Knox Vegas, baby.
Knox County, Tennessee. So, although there's no eligibility left, he wants to follow the Diego Pavia rule and basically add sub-bullet points to that conversation. And so if the season started today, Joey Aguilar could play college football. And, again, not necessarily comparable to the Bediako situation from, like, the pro side of things, but just from the standpoint of restraining orders of going to your county or going to wherever you know that you're going to get approved from, and the simple terms of that of, if this is the way of college football, get me out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So.
The eighth-year junior.
Yeah.
Because what we talked about this a while ago of you wanting to just say first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year.
Yeah, just
you
get
5 years.
Yeah.
No redshirting.
Yeah.
Even if it's medical.
There's a lot of people, I think, in that camp. I mean, I don't care. I think you've got to be as harsh as possible to reel this back in. I'm sorry.
You're almost at the point of where you have to, and this sounds really harsh, but you got to screw over a classification of freshman to senior to almost
reset
get
it.
Some sort of, recalibration.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Recalibrate everything. Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, that's a...
Good thing is if we just choose not to pay the next 4 years, like, they'll be
true.
Perfectly fine, and they'll have nothing else they can do because the NCAA has power.
I don't think so. So we talked about that today. We talked a lot of the Charles Bediako stuff today. We also talked with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. We also talked with Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn about all sorts of stuff. So if you missed the show, go check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. Coming up tomorrow, we have a loaded show tomorrow. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us at 2:30. Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, will join us at 3, and then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC at 3:30. So, loaded program tomorrow. Be sure you come and hang out. Come and join us. We'd love to be on your radio. We'd love for you to be a part of the show as well. So, we're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.